What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ethnically Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Okay.
Hi, Shereen.
Hi. Oh, sorry. Are we doing
that? Yeah, that's the intro.
And that's the intro. Hello.
The level of professionalism you'll receive with Ethnically Ambiguous, a podcast about this.
Yep, that's correct. And then if you keep listening, we have a very fun guest on today. She's hilarious. It's Anna Sarangina. I added an N. Are you cut? Edit note. Anna Sarangina. I added an N to the, whatever, it doesn't matter. She's very funny. She has a new podcast out with previous guest that's already been on, Kyle Mazzono, The Truth Hounds, that Anna helped produce. I'm trying to differentiate. Can you tell I had coffee today?
Yes. All right, so this is going to be a great episode. We talk all about Anna's immigration from Russia. Yeah, you heard us right. She's a spy. Just kidding. And her family and how she got into comedy. And then, of course, her podcast, The Truth Hound, Sniff Sniff Ow. So stay tuned.
Should we redo this?
I thought that was perfect.
Okay.
Keep that in.
I think it rocks.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay.
Who are we? Where do we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pets? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Hello, Anna.
Hi, Shereen.
Hi, wow, what? Another episode. Who would have guessed?
And we're in a heat wave, baby, so you guessed it. All the air conditionings are off, so I will heat up eventually and try and end this show early, probably. That's me, Anna.
I introduced you as Anna on purpose because we have a guest today named Anna, so I was trying to differentiate, but you're already fucked up.
Who cares? I'm nobody.
But yeah, it is very hot. Apparently, it's also very hot in New York. A friend was saying that it's humid over there. So maybe, but then again, humidity is good for your skin. So maybe I would rather have that than dry heat.
God, you're so brown. Humidity is good for your skin. Get out of here.
It's good for your pores.
Is that your mom talking? Sorry.
Whatever. Yeah,
get it?
You have a
that's
point.
Something our parents would say. That's literally something my mom would say. Wear sunscreen, but humidity is good for your skin too, just so you know.
I own that. Also, I made the objectively bad choice to get a tattoo in the summertime, which means you have to like hide it from the sun. And I wore long sleeves outside today, and that was just torture. It was on my arm.
Your tattoos can't see the sun? Or is that a thing?
Yeah, it's recommended for all tattoos, especially after you first get them, to not have sun exposure. I mean, indefinitely, you would like to keep your tattoos at least like minimal sun exposure. That's cool. Why this one, no one can see this. But this one on my arm I got in August a couple years ago, and I was bad at the sun thing, and that's why it's kind of faded up top. But this is the new one I got. Whoops. I'm showing our guest who hasn't been introduced yet. It's my first red ink tattoo, and it's like right on my forearm. Is this my forearm? My lower arm? And literally that just means I have to fucking wear long sleeves now. Anyway, it's my mistake.
I'll be real with you. I did not know that, and all my tattoos look like trash, so that explains a lot.
I mean, it's not just the sun. It's like, this one, for example, looks like trash for me. There's one on my arm that's like basically scarred and puffed out, which is not supposed to happen. That means the artist like dug in too deep, but I also got this at a dance club, so that was my fault.
You know, I've also heard you actually are supposed to hide your tattoos from Middle Eastern parents. Yeah. Damn it.
Oh my God, I called that.
Damn it, you're coming good. Yeah, that's they all say that. They're like, and just to protect this, you will need to hide it from your Middle Eastern parent because they will accuse you of being mentally ill. And to which you'll say, I am mentally ill. To which you'll say, no, you're not. You have a house, you have a roof over your head. How could you be mentally ill?
My parents are like, not going to like this one, but it's like Arabic inspired, you know, like my dad wasn't too annoyed at this Arabic word, but that's not going to help my case. It doesn't matter. Anyway, we talked about our guest a couple minutes ago. Let's just bring her in. She's right here talking, like listening to us talk about absolutely nothing. She has a new podcast on the iHeart family that we will talk about. And it's Anna Saragina. Did I say it right?
You know you did.
Okay, I hesitate about all names. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being here.
And being patient with that intro.
Oh my, I love the intro. I mean, there's twists, turns, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
tattoo care, skin care.
Tattoo care. It's true. You're supposed to treat it like you would a sunburn at first.
Yeah. Wow, so. You're supposed to put aloe on it?
Yeah, I mean, aloe is good for it. And like fragrance-free antibacterial soap, the least ingredient lotion. But don't over-moisturize, like only like once, twice a day max, because over-moisturizing is really bad for it. It can lead to like problems. Mm-hmm. But
that's dark.
This one's itchy because it's new and it's like whatever. Oh, it's also hand-poked.
It's beautiful. Is it really?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I prefer hand-poked stuff, and I found an artist next to me that I really enjoy.
Hand-poked? Did that take 10 years to do?
It was a little longer. It looked like an hour and a half, honestly, which it could have taken maybe half an hour with a machine, but I just prefer the look. And it's honestly less painful, but I'm fine with pain.
You got all the time in the world?
This is not a strap. I keep thinking this is a spaghetti strap, but it's literally the mic. No one can see what I'm talking
about.
It's
really beautiful.
Podcast.
I mean, I don't care if nobody can see. It's really beautiful and ornate.
Thank you so much, Anna. Thank you.
So we have Anna Saragina, who is the co-host of the Truth Hounds podcast. Sniff, sniff. Ow!
The full title. Wow. Not a lot of people are giving it that full title. That's nice.
Well, you know, we did that a lot with Kyle when she was on the show. Your co-host, Kyle Mazzono, whose episode released a week or two ago. So you know what? I have to howl. Now, a lot of people will be like, why do you have Anna on the podcast? Well, you dirty, dirty people. Just joking. Mm-hmm. No one's dirty. Everyone's lovely.
Make assumptions based off of what? The cover of a book?
Yeah.
Is that what kind of person you are?
Yeah, you motherfuckers.
People look at me, they go, that's not ethnically ambiguous at all.
And you know what?
I think I got that all figured out.
They're wrong. Wonderful motherfucking fans.
These wonderful.
Being like, how fucking dare you? Guess
but
what?
Also,
how
thanks fucking for the follow.
Dare you? Yes, keep listening. We love you. We love all your tweets, all your mentions. Oh my God, you guys are the fucking best. I just want to keep saying it aggressively. Well, little do you know, Anna, she's a goddamn Russian immigrant. Okay.
And that barely a credit, honestly. I mean, barely sneaking through the door. Really, honestly.
Yeah, I will agree with that.
Because
Europe, like white Europe, is pretty close to white Russia.
And if anything, I was going to say, in a kind of, if you really, you know, maybe it's, I don't know, you're not really looking, you know, you could say Eurasia, but I'm from just what is technically Europe, I think.
So you're not from you're from the west side of Russia.
Yeah.
West side. Just joking. I will say, though, your photos of your youth on your Instagram are some of the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life. Outside of your very intense emo phase, your youth, your clear, like, Russian child youth is
well,
amazing.
The thing is, I think you could tell that I come from a depriving, hopefully, a kind of very deprived place. And that is really it. That's mm-hmm. really all the pillow I have to sit on. So that's really, really it.
My friend, love it.
One of my friends was like, you have just, I don't know, maybe it's the Russian thing, but there's definitely an orphan vibe.
Yes.
So, I mean, yeah. So.
Yes. It's true. The photos are like, oh, wow. Huh. She's really... Well, she's
you can tell people weren't smiling.
No.
People aren't walking around smiling.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But I will say, I mean, we've had a white woman on, so it's not like you're breaking the rules here. We've had Abby Martin on, and okay. She's white. And
so I'm in good
she's
company.
She's not even Russian.
Well, you know what's really fucked up is that I moved actually from Russia to Canada when I was 12.
Oh, double immigrant.
And I mean, that's the one, you know, I mean.
A double Emmy?
A double Emmy. I only got my citizenship, I think the 3-year anniversary was just a week
Whoa,
ago or so.
You're like Justin shit. Bieber.
I'm exactly like Justin Bieber. And that is why I'm qualified to be on the show. Okay.
They were really trying to keep you out. They were like, you should.
Yeah.
They really didn't want me here. I moved to Canada first. And then for like the last 3 years of high school, I moved to, unfortunately, San Diego. And I say that with zero respect towards San Diego. Okay. But anyway.
I grew up mostly there when it comes to California. I picked the furthest college from my house and I hadn't even seen it. So
yes. Where did you grow up?
I was like in the suburbs of San Diego for most of like.
Which ones?
Rancho Penasquitos.
Okay. That'll do it. Yeah.
My parents live in Poway now. They moved there when I was 17. So I didn't grow up there. But it is kind of bad. Like it's just, I would never. But it's like, it's just what I mean that it's just like white, old, pretty red, you know?
Yes. Very, very, Republican, conservative, homophobic.
That's what I meant by red. Not just, like red in the face.
No. And,
I mean, they don't really put on sunscreen over there.
They're not really putting on sunscreen either. So,
But yeah, where did you grow up?
Well, I lived in Claremont Mesa in San Diego. Yeah, the one, the kind of the belle of the ball of
good food
San
there.
Diego. I guess. Actually, I mean, the food, I mean, just straight up the Mexican food in San Diego, great. Other than that, hell, just truly hell.
That's
and
true.
get me away from there. But when I first came to high school, it was really funny because people made fun of me for having an accent, but it was a Canadian accent. And I was like, you have no idea how stupid I used to sound. I worked really hard and now I say pasta and that's enough for you to make fun of me. It was just very like, I was like, this is not, you don't
that's
even know
so
how good
strange.
It gets. Yeah.
You don't
I mean,
even know.
We moved, my family moved around a lot, even in San Diego and Southern California. So we had accents when we were younger, but because we moved so much, it was like, okay, the people that knew we had accents then don't know we have accents now. Like we were like in Oak Park before we moved to Rancho Penasquitos, and it was like a new identity. Like no one, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, that's the cool thing I think about moving a lot is that you just get to like, you know, cobble together whatever you want because there's really no escaping the first round of impressions. Yeah. So.
Wait, okay, so you said you moved to Canada when you were 12. So you were in Russia until you were 12?
Yes.
Wow.
Bravely.
What are your memories like from Russia?
Honestly, cold in all senses of the word, in all its connotations and denotations. Very somber. very, you know, very.
I guess the stereotypes are true.
No, the stereotypes are so true. The first time I saw Dunkin' Donuts, I freaked out, and I realized in retrospect, it's because the food was like pink and purple, and all food in Russia, except with the exception of a couple things, is gray and beige. So I was like, this is amazing. I mean, it's not just like. Yeah, beige wet or whatever. You know?
Jesus. So. You are not describing anything appetizing right now, just so you know. Gray and wet?
Oh, dude, I remember going to school in Russia and the lunch one day was, it's like, it's like some version of a hot cereal, you know, so if it's like barley or, you know, you do the math, something barley-like. I think this was buckwheat and liver, and they're the same color. I mean, it just is... Anthony Bourdain, I believe, not to shout out another pod on here, but I believe he was on Marc Maron's podcast, and Marc Maron was like, what's the worst food? And he was like, I'll just say Soviet communism is not kind of a favorful
oh my God. Environment for hilarious. Food. I love him.
It's the worst
food. I trust
food.
Him.
Absolutely.
Wow.
But wait, where in Russia are you from?
Moscow.
Okay. I went to Moscow a couple years ago, and it's funny now because the parts I went to, like some of the parts are kind of hipstery, so I had great food, but I also didn't grow up in any schools.
Amazing. Yeah. How did you like Moscow?
Oh, I love it. I would love to go back, but I'm also like saying that as like a tourist, you know? Like, sure. No, my best friend is from Russia, and she was living there at the time, and so I think the best part of like... The best kind of traveling is, I think, when you know someone there that, like, so you're not completely alone. And I was learning Russian and, like, Duolingo, and I, like, got a lot better there, but now I have to get better again. It doesn't matter. But, yeah, I liked it, but it's also, like, I'm sure people that visit San Diego like it a lot, you know? But you didn't grow up there.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I think it's, like, I think you kind of have to know someone who lives there or go with someone who speaks Russian or something because people in general are just, like, I don't know, off the bat, not very, like, friendly or accommodating. I think once you know and you're in a group of people, they, like, they really can be hospitable. But obviously, you have to, like, you know, be, like, they recommend you, like, just bring a book in Russian so that when you're on the train, you appear to be reading a book in Russian so that nobody, like, fucks with you.
Yeah. I will say... The way you speak in Russian is kind of similar to like the same sounds you make in Arabic. So I think that kind of helped me. I went there in the summertime. And so everyone's like out in the parks. It's so green.
Spirits are high.
The sun sets at 11. It goes up at 2. It's like, it's just like, I think I got the good vibes time.
Yeah. That's nice. That's really nice. That's funny. My mom is trying to learn. And that's what she was saying is that some of the sounds are similar or like the intonations maybe are similar. And she was really enjoying it.
Oh, she's trying to learn Arabic?
Yeah.
Oh.
Truly for fun.
That's amazing. I like that. Yeah. The sounds are really similar. I was really happy about that because it was like, even when I didn't know much, I would just say thank you and I could get away in a supermarket, not like drawing attention to myself.
Can I hear it? Is that all right? Not to put you on blast.
I haven't said it in so long. It's spasiba, right?
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. And then there's like privyet. Привет.
Beautiful.
The one phrase, sorry, I'm like taking up this whole time. I'm really sorry.
No, please.
But the one phrase I use all the time. So me and my friend, she was teaching me Russian. I was teaching her Arabic as we were walking around. And the one phrase I really wanted her to teach me was, у меня болит живот.
Oh, у меня болит живот.
Yeah, I'm saying it wrong. That's my stomach hurts.
Totally. Yes, exactly.
У меня болит живот.
Wow. That's very useful.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my Russian
spiel. I love
that. Yeah.
Oh my God, I love your Russian spiel.
Oh my God, thank you.
So why Canada and then why San Diego, I guess is my question.
Well, Canada because it's much easier to immigrate there.
Okay, what was your family running from? Just assuming because you're from Russia. Go ahead.
So we're going to go pain.
I'm just joking. I mean, I was hoping you'd be like, they're spies.
I mean, they're definitely
not. I've seen too many of the Americans.
It is exactly. It's a documentary about my life, and and it's a little weird when I watch because I go, "That's just me up there." They were like, honestly, they were part of a really cool crew. My dad was a musician, and so they were kind of like, I would say they were punks, and so they were not. I think they felt very alienated. Also, I should say my dad is Jewish, which is...
I see.
I never thought of that as anything spicy, but he, in retrospect, has let me know that, like, his friend group even, like, I don't know, whatever. It was not... That's who they are mostly racist toward, I suppose, in their spare time.
Anti-Semitic.
Very anti-Semitic. Yeah. Can be.
You heard of that? Huge problem.
I don't know if you guys have heard of this, but I'm so glad to be the white woman who comes on and tells you.
Tells us more about anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
Tell us more.
But I think it was just not great to live there, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And then I think that they also specifically hated their time there for like those reasons and others similar to it. So a bunch of their friends who were also Jewish and musicians left. And so we were one of the later families from their friend group to leave. My dad had a good friend who moved to Seattle who kind of helped him like first get his footing in Canada. It was a little easier to immigrate to Canada. We spent mm-hmm. some time there. Then eventually my parents got a divorce. My mom moved to San Diego. Mm-hmm. I like stayed with my dad for a bit. Honestly, it's not a very interesting story. Eventually, I ended up in San Diego as well. My dad still lives in Canada. Yeah, they split up pretty immediately.
Wait, in Canada? As soon as they got back?
I believe on Canadian soil is where they first split. Then there was maybe a kind of negotiation of getting back together over in somewhere in America, but ultimately,
that trip on the plane really did something.
It's a long trip. That's it's a really long plane ride. So you got a lot of time to think. Yeah. And
sorry, what?
Yeah. Well, did you understand?
Anna, how long is the plane ride?
It's like 18 hours or something.
What?
Or like at least.
It's long.
I mean, San Diego to Syria is like, I mean, same with Iran. Like, you know, it's like 26 hours or some bullshit like that. Maybe more.
13 direct.
Oh, we never went direct, okay?
Guess you never
going
flew
the cheap way.
Turkish Airlines direct.
Oh, okay, we are going such the cheap way that one time I remember we were visiting Russia and my mom was like, you know, and then to save, we'll have a layover. And we had a layover in New York and I thought, wow, how cool. Here I go. I'm going to say hi to Lorne Michaels. And then we went during our layover. Our layover was like 12 hours and she spent it exclusively in Brighton Beach.
We're
on our way to Russia and she was like, you know, I got to just
you gotta
see
the rest
stop.
Of the Russians.
Say hi to my girls in Brighton Beach.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Your mom sounds awesome. She gets it.
Sure. She gets it.
So did your parents or your dad specifically continue to be a musician even in Canada?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's like, he still does music stuff. He got into like programming, computer programming. And I think a lot of Russians get into like that. Mm. That type of thing. And he still does music. And the funny thing is, Anna, perhaps you'll appreciate when he talked about so Russian parents, as many others, aren't really known for giving compliments, let's say, to the chef or otherwise. And he was like, oh, so you have a podcast? And I was like, yeah. And he said, that's good news. And I said, yeah. And he said, what do you edit on? And I said, I think we use Pro Tools. And he said, should be using Cubase. And that was the end of our conversation.
There has to be a quote somewhere.
A podcast, yeah.
What is Cubase?
So, you know, and I don't know. And that's one of the many mysteries we'll dive into next season. It's like I think it's a free sound editing. Oh. I really don't know.
I have to Google it because I don't know what your father is talking about. But
what if he's just plugging something that he made?
He's just plugging his own. He made his own. Yeah.
Okay.
So have you heard of this app? It's so cool.
Here's the
it's
first really thing that came up when I searched Cubase, which
Anna's dad.
I'm reporting your father. No, it says, for more than 15 years, Cubase has served customers across the Department of Defense and National Security arena. Okay, red flag one.
Okay.
Here's the other thing. Cubase is a music festival held in Wies, Germany over one day. Red flag two. What is going on?
Wow. Okay, well, this was maybe
alarming.
He was very alarming.
First of all, he's clearly a spy. Two, he's going to music festivals.
Oh my God. Here, the whole time I was like,
have fun too.
Oh, they were punk, but now I see. Oh no. Okay. They are the Americans. Okay.
Yeah. They're punk.
Okay.
Let's take a quick break and we'll get back and we like touched on Truth Hounds, but we can like get into the show and you and Kyle making it, but from your perspective, because we already heard hers. But anyway, we'll be right back.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-errands pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
And we are back. Before we get into the podcast, I want to ask a few more questions about your clearly a spy father. Just joking. So what did your what led your mom to San Diego exactly? And what did she end up doing here when she got here?
She ended up getting married to a guy who lives in San Diego, who works still, who teaches in a school in San Diego. So she followed her bliss, I guess, is what we're we're calling that. And then now she lives in San Diego still. And
is she still with that guy?
She is still kind of with that guy. It's very... I don't, you know, it's none of my business.
But did you? But you grew up with him. If you guys moved together, right? Or you?
I grew up with him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so they have like kind of a slightly complicated relationship, but they are, for all intents and purposes of a friendly podcast, they are together ish. Okay. You know, again, Russia. It's very mysterious, very complicated. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But he was Russian?
He's Russian as well.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That was my own, that was my bias. I did not imagine him as Russian. My apologies.
Okay, your bias is showing. So I'm No, they straight up met. This is so funny to me. This is like, they met on a straight up forum for like Russian people getting in touch with Russian people. And so that's, yeah, that was like obviously, you know, online dating or anything like that. So, I mean, I guess it's like more if you're into on like music forums or something like that, there, you know, that's not an unheard of phenomenon, but they met on a forum for just being Russian.
Nice.
Wow. That seems legit. That's like, I feel like a lot of people have that. Like, I know there's like Persian dating, like networks, and I think Arab. Wasn't there like, there's like conferences, right?
Yeah.
I feel like we've talked about this on the show.
That talked about that, I think.
Conferences.
Yeah, where like people meet each other. There's also Minder, which is Muslim Tinder.
Wow.
But that's not necessarily it's a religion, obviously. But like, it's still like a community trying to find another person in the community.
Right. Well, I think like my dad also has met a previous girlfriend or something in a forum kind of context as well. And I was thinking about it, like, of course it makes sense if you live in a remote town and you, you know, are whatever, not let's say an English speaker or something else, you know, that makes sense that you would have a hard time gravitating toward people, you know? So,
Well, God bless your parents for finding their loves on their Russian romance sets.
Thank you.
Do you have any siblings?
No.
Wow.
Being an only child in Russia is not a treat. They don't treat you with respect and don't worry about it. There's like a stereotype in here that's like, oh, you're an only child, you're spoiled, whatever.
No, but like, why is it just like, why is it particularly only child in Russia, or just like in general a child in Russia?
Great question. I think all of the above. I think your parents don't really treat you with kindness, and it doesn't matter how many of you there are. So, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
What a funny concept. They're just like, only child, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Well, you know, like in maybe backwards, like very traditional, but I mean, like in some cultures, it's like, if the oldest child isn't a son, it's like kind of like iffy. You know what I mean? It's like the same, maybe there's, I mean, that's so stupid to even think about.
Of course.
But, yeah.
But I understand, like, trash ass.
Mm-hmm.
Only child, get out of here. Where are your siblings, weirdo? What am
exactly.
I can't even. I can't exactly. even. What am I talking about?
I know.
Sorry.
My mom always thinks, this is, I mean, I'm so sorry to say this out loud, but she always feels so sorry for only children, or like even the parents. She's like, why just one? Like, why didn't they make a friend? And I'm just like,
oh my God, where is your mom? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, totally. I really wish I would have had like a sibling to definitely share the experience of moving with, you know,
just
and then like
commiserate with.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're like, you know, it's such a psychotic experience when you move across the world and you're like, just you're just, you know, I used to joke that like my parents literally, I mean, I would say this on stage, they cut my hair into the shape of like a penis tip. Like I had a penis tip haircut. Then they were like, I don't know what looks normal. Put a lime green snowsuit on her. And then I just dropped me off at school in a hot pink Jeep with our two dogs that each weighed 150 pounds. And I like dropped me off at school and I didn't speak English. And then, you know, it's like, okay, let's just go be and whatever.
They're really drawing attention themselves for spies.
Yes.
You know?
I know.
You are truly the most Russian kid on Instagram. And I'm sure there are actual Russian kids on Instagram. But I'm telling you, every photo of yours from like a certain era of your childhood makes me just so happy. You're just so Russian. Like here, I just pulled one up. See if you guys can see this. Like, it's blurred out.
Oh my goodness.
Who
is that cute little boy?
It's true. We're all doing stuff like that. I mean, that's just a typical day in Russia.
Anna, I love that you, Anna, just to differentiate. I love that like she's talking about how miserable her child was and you're like, I love these photos. They make my day.
I mean, they're so cute. Like they're cute, but they're also so like hilariously foreign in a way. Uh-huh. Like it's just wonder. It just makes me happy because it's like, I get it. Like being raised by immigrant Iranian parents, like there is no slack. Like they give you nothing to work with and you're supposed to like make a life out of it. You're supposed to like make a personality that's not like continuously anxious at all times because everyone's like, you're weird. And you're like, I know. And you know
because,
what?
Like we stick out. Like we dress funny. Like, but you know what I mean? Like, I mean, at the very least, I'm glad I had sisters and an older sister who's very close to age than me, to me, because we had accents growing up and at least like we can look back and like we had each other. But I imagine being an only child and like moving around and meeting other kids, like, was that isolating? Like, how did you navigate that?
Yeah, I think that's exactly when I would have loved a sibling. I would have loved for someone to be like, I know, dude, it sucks. But instead, you're like, I don't care, you know, or whatever. That's the only personality you can gravitate to. Because at first, in my experience being foreign, I was just like, hi, I'm sorry, you know, or whatever. And I was just trying to smile and be nice, just not stand in the way. That was kind of just my vibe for the first few years. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, it was just like, you're just like constantly auditioning personalities, hoping to land on one that seems palatable.
That's a great way to put it. I relate to that.
Yeah. It's funny because even Anna, you had wrongfully accused me of being emo. I was definitely not emo. I was part of the scene. Okay.
And that is
vastly different.
Yeah, so,
very different. My bad.
You know, bit of a derogatory term there, but okay. But it's like, I feel like my childhood photos each year, or like my teenage years, it's like a vastly different, you know, like mm-hmm. they're usually around music, but like super different looks, you know? And I think it was just literally a rotating door of like, I'm auditioning different versions of myself. And ultimately, I think they were all kind of like alternative or something, so that it's like, okay, if I'm going to be kind of rejected anyway, then I would rather obviously control the narrative of how mm-hmm. I'm going to be rejected, you know, yeah. and I would rather have seen hair. And so, you know, I guess
Well, throughout all of that, how did you find comedy? What was that introduction? Like, when did you realize you were interested in comedy? Was it something like you were, well, tell me about that.
If I think about my sense of humor objectively, it was awful. Like, it was so annoying. I mean, I think that's just like a teen thing, you mm-hmm. know? I think it's okay. I don't have to be like hard on myself or anything, but
just so
obnoxious, loud. Like, I had a friend with whom I got along so well, and we thought we were so funny and such a gift to like just any community we walked into. But ultimately, it's like we were just fucking loud. And if I ran a diner where we sat, I would kick us out immediately. But, you know, so that was like my experience with humor. But I also, I should say, like when I lived in Russia, the only movies we got were like Mrs. Doubtfire and then like Chris Tucker movies. And so those are the things I liked, because I think those people, those two actors, were like very physical. And so you didn't have to speak English to understand mm-hmm. that they're funny. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I really like that. And I think that informed a lot of my humor, is like just being whatever, physical or silly or whatever. But actually, comedy, the pursuit thereof, I think came as a result of doing theater. And theater, I did purely like when I lived in Canada, I had a teacher who was like, you should audition for this. Like, you had to take drama or dance. And I took drama. Then this teacher was like, you should audition for this play. I got in, and no big deal, but I got the lead. And and it was a play about John Lennon. So,
oh my God.
So she started rocking right there and then. Okay. But it helped me work on being shy and really helped me work on my accent. So I did drama as a way to be like, that was my like, in retrospect, it was really therapy, you know, like it was very just, I don't know, immersive therapy, essentially, because mm-hmm. It just helped me like act out the whatever anxieties or shyness, and helped me step away from whatever I felt like my identity has to be, and like mm-hmm. go into whatever, you know, dream worlds. So then I think from doing theater, that's how I started technically being like, oh, I want to be on stage, or oh, I want to escape into that, you know?
Wow. Yeah. That's great, because I'm glad you were able to find that sort of outlet, because a lot of people don't, and it's like hard, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. But like once you find that community, and I will say, and I'm not saying this to be like, to make fun of like theater or anything like that, because, you know, like I was in that scene.
Watch it.
No, I was in that scene for the most part as well. And like, it's definitely, you do feel like you're with a group of people who understand what it's like to be outsiders. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of your, I don't know, like I felt like a lot of my humor and like my need to like make people laugh came from the fact that I always felt like, you know, left out. And so I was always trying to be like, just like me, I'm normal. Mm-hmm. You know, like that was always totally. My energy, a little too much if you ask me.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't ask you, okay? I think that's just right.
No, I mean, I relate to that, though. Like, I just loved making people laugh. Like, and it was usually, like, and still now, my humor is pretty self-deprecating, and I think it's kind of telling. Like, even back then, I was just like, I gotta turn this on myself, because they have to know I'm weird, you know? Like, I'm owning it kind of thing. And so I was definitely the same with you, Anna, like, just trying to perpetually be the funny one. And I honestly low-key still am sometimes. And I have to like clock that. So like, it's just, I don't know.
Totally. Because you want to control the kind of ray of their laughter mm-hmm. so that it's not at you, you know, in an unpredictable way, you know, at that anxiety where you're like, am I doing something wrong? Is like, is whatever, is am I detectable right now?
Right,
you know?
Right. And if I am, I just want it to be funny and good. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you want a controlled narrative. Exactly. Yeah. What did you do after high school?
After high school, I was going to go to a theater school in New York. I could not afford to, so I went to San Francisco State because I wanted to live in San Francisco. That was kind of like the beginning and end of that decision. And I tried to do theater at that school, and I didn't really, no disrespect, but I didn't really care for it. And then, yeah, I was in college for, I think I dropped out with literally like a semester, maybe two to go.
Oh, wow.
And then
studying
I did
theater, I'm assuming, or
I did theater at first. Then I was like, you know what? Honestly, let's move on. Let's do cultural anthropology.
Oh, that'll okay.
I tried my hand at that, and cultural anthropology and like human sexuality. I thought maybe I'd become a sex educator or something. Mm. And then yeah, I dropped out and did. Okay, here we go. Dramatic improv.
Ooh. Tell us more.
Hard pivot.
That is a hard pivot. Harder for no one else than me. And then that lasted for...
What is dramatic improv, please?
Anna, I'm so glad you asked because... Let me give you an example of a scene I did. Okay. And I'm glad everybody's sitting down because... Okay, here we go. An example of a scene I did was that I'm at a restaurant. The waiter is about to take my order. But as I'm looking at the menu, I get a text message that I have cancer.
Okay.
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 So,
oh, my.
So that's just an example of the kind of fun we're having in dramatic improv.
But it's like multiple people around you, right? But it's just like not
Yeah,
fun.
You're not alone. Yeah, so you're improvising life's precious moments that are... That
I don't think I've ever seen dramatic improv.
Yeah, that's, you know, intense.
I don't
that
wish
seems
it.
Like the class for like people that want to win an Oscar, you know, like it seems like that's what they would do.
It was people from all walks of life, and you know, Lord bless them, I think they're still going strong to this day. It's not for me, but yeah, rock on. With all my respect and support, rock on. It was, but the good thing is it got me to perform and see what I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's something. And then I did sketch comedy that was really bad. And even then I was like the weird person, mm-hmm. because it was my first introduction into comedy people being hot, which I'd never encountered before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's all. It's still a thing. It's always going to be a thing.
Had no idea that that's yeah. kind of on the table.
So, were you still in San Francisco during this whole time?
Yes, I was in San Francisco, and I did this sketch comedy group where everybody was very hot and like cool. And then I remember like the first role I had was I was like a medieval town a bag. I don't know.
A serf?
Yeah, I remember I drooled and I had like,
oh, wow,
a kind of hunchbacky style, you know, air about me, and they had me come out, and I really committed to my role. I drooled on an audience member, and then they had a meeting with me after, and they were like, "You're just a little, it's a little much."
Oh.
And I was like, "Well, this can't be comedy. I mean, I don't know what this is." So then I again by process of elimination kind of whittled my way down to stand up.
Mm-hmm. What was it? So when did you, did you first perform stand up in SF?
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How did your family feel about all this?
They literally don't understand. Like now they're stand up, at least in Russia, like as of, I don't know, the last decade, maybe less. But before they were like, what? And I don't know how you guys feel about this. Like, I think this is an immigrant pressure, I think, that, like, they left, you know, and they left to make it better. And so to them, a pursuit of dreams, I think, seems very frivolous.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
You know, they're like...
Yeah. Immigrants want to survive. Like, anything else is... Yeah.
Well, there's this beautiful... I mean, not to drop Adam Curtis here, right now, but there's this documentary called Hypernormalization that came out. Of course,
you're talking to someone that's obsessed with Adam Curtis. Well, I highly recommend Hypernormalization. Also, Century of the Self is my favorite one, though.
So
that's
good.
Like a long one. But it's all on YouTube, everyone. Yeah. Go look up Adam Curtis. He's a fucking genius.
I actually just watched Yeah, I just watched the May Farrell about the early weapons trade, baby. Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Don't recommend, but also recommend.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Life is it's hell.
It's a life as hell style.
Is Ghislaine Maxwell related to Mossad? That's a hole if you want to stay up all night and not sleep for two days like I have.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Absolutely. No, but I just remember this footage from Hypernormalization. I don't know if you guys remember this, but there's this older Russian woman who's adhering wallpaper to a wall. And the interviewer goes, "What are your dreams?" And the interviewer is like British, I think. And she briefly stops for a second, doesn't even look at him, and is like, we don't have dreams. And then goes back to hearing wallpaper.
Wow, yeah.
And I just really, really love that. It seems like they must think that I'm like, I just think like a big
saint. Planet.
Yeah, I'm like a Saint Bernard in tights who's running around and breaking vases, you know?
Yeah. So have they ever seen you do comedy?
Once each. My mom came to an open mic.
Oh, yikes.
Pretty early.
Oh, no.
In the days, and was like, that was not what I expected. My dad, kind of in this very cinematic way, came to see a show. For some reason, he sat in the one spot where like a spotlight on an audience member.
Oh.
Illuminated just him in San Francisco. And he didn't laugh once. Like,
oh,
he didn't even,
God.
I mean, just like his face was just unflinching. He just so stoic. Moments where I've been like, okay, they just like don't understand. One time I got to perform with Robin Williams and they would know I did.
Oh, my God, Anna.
Okay, it wasn't like he was like, Anna, sir, I gotta have you.
But still, his death fucked me up. Maybe him and Anthony Bourdain.
Me
Robin
too.
Williams
both of
the most.
Yes,
but,
totally.
Like, he was like my childhood hero. I mean, still
absolutely.
My adulthood hero, but that's amazing. Forever.
Yeah, it was amazing. To be earnest for a second, like, I loved Mrs. Doubtfire a lot, like I said, when I lived in Russia. And then when my parents went through a divorce and it was just like, it was a very lonely and isolated time. And I didn't speak English and I was alone and my family life was like, very difficult. You know, we had like a very tumultuous relationship and I would watch Mrs. Doubtfire and it was very like therapeutic for me. Mm. It meant a lot to me and it really helped me. And Robin Williams is the first person that without exaggeration, I watched him and I was like, oh my God, someone else who's weird. Like I'm weird, you know, like it was almost like, it was actually like finding someone who speaks a very specific language as you, you know? And so I really loved him. His death really fucked me up too.
Yeah. Wait, how did you, I mean, before we go to break, I'm so curious, what was the show?
My good friend, Chris Garcia, who's a really funny comic, he was moving away from San Francisco. He was one of my first comedy friends. And his going away show was at the Punchline, which is the local club in San Francisco. And we had all met Bobcat Goldthwait that year, or maybe the year before at Sketchfest. And Chris asked him to do a set on his going away show. And Bob said yes. And then last minute, he was like, hey, I don't know if it's okay. I hope it's all right. But do you mind if I bring my friend? And we were like,
you
yeah,
said my
bring
friend.
My friend.
Okay.
And then it was just simply Robin Williams.
Wow.
And here's what's amazing. So it's Robin Williams, right? And it's like, he performs and it's literally like, he doesn't use a microphone. He steps out into the audience. It feels like Shakespearean. I've never seen comedy like this before. Like he's physical. He's like so fucking funny. He's so fast. And it's really incredible. And we're just like, everybody's like mouth agape watching him, you know? And then I was standing in the back by the bar and he stood next to me. And I was just like, I'm so sorry. That was amazing. And he was like, do you think so? I haven't been on stage in so long that honestly it was okay. And I was like, okay, so that I guess doesn't go away. Okay. No matter who you are.
You're like, yeah, okay, Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Robin, do your Mark and Mindy bit. What?
Yes. No, I mean, to see something that good and then have them be like, I don't know. I just, that was so embarrassing or whatever.
You know, God. I mean, I love him even more somehow, but it's, I mean, like, imagine if it was different. It was like, oh, thanks. Yeah, I killed it. Like, obviously the alternative is better.
No, of course. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, ultimately, you know, maybe revealing of something sad and...
Yeah, I mean, I think especially both of those people fucked me up, Anthony Bourdain and Rob Williams. Robin Williams, most of all, just because of the nature of how he did it. And just me being always very suicidal and loving both of those people. And Robin Williams especially. I just have never recovered from that.
Didn't they both do it the same way?
I don't want to get too graphic, trigger warning, but Robin Williams did it with like a doorknob on a door.
That's what and how Bourdain did it too, right?
Oh, really? Yeah. I thought it was just, maybe it was the same then. Yeah, I don't know why both. I thought it was different in a hotel room.
And
maybe
Kate
same thing.
Spade, I believe, same way.
Yeah, she did it with her scarf.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry. I mean, sorry to everyone. Trigger warning. Sorry. But
just, yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, like, I kind of like talking about at least suicidal ideations normally, because I think like I don't want to make it so taboo. I want people to be honest. But Robin Williams being like the funniest person on the planet and still dealing with demons, I think is just like,
absolutely. It feels like, it felt very, betrayal is not the right word, but like it felt very threatening with both of them in a very personal way. Anthony Bourdain kind of, because he was also so open about
addiction and
and so it felt like, oh, here's like one of us who is doing it and facing it actively. And it felt very threatening to the autonomy of being like, well, at least we're cognizant and we're talking about it and whatever, you know. It felt very dark.
I always, I mean, even now, but back then, I mean, I'm a depressed person, but in my lowest bouts of depression, especially when they died, I was like, my thinking was, if they were able to stay, like, how can I? Like, of course. Like, if these people, these just, what's it called? Like, Goliaths in their field and everything, if they weren't able to stay, like, what chance do I have?
Totally so beloved, too, who felt love actively. It's really sad when someone like that, you clearly cannot receive love also, you know? I mean,
wow, this took a sad turn. I'm really sorry if this triggered anyone, but sorry. That's all I can say. Let's take our last break and we'll be right back.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-errands pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
And we are back. Now we can talk about truth. And sniff, sniff, ow. Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, I have to finish telling you the Robin Williams.
Oh yeah. He was one of those people that, like, I wanted to meet before I die kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So you're that memory, hold on to that.
He was mm-hmm. at so many comedy shows. Like, my boyfriend mm-hmm. Zach has a photo. Like, everyone is like, so many people have met him because he would just, like, go around and, like, kick it.
Mm-hmm. Very open. In San Francisco, a lot too. He would drop into shows a lot. My second, I had another run-in with him, which is Bazette Sketchfest. We were performing roughly around the same venue, the Academy of Sciences. I ran into him in a small hallway where there were two bathroom doors. And this is the first time I saw him. And he was just coming out of the bathroom. I almost ran into him. And I said, Robin Williams. And he said, yeah, okay. And I said, oh my God, it's been my lifelong dream to run into you outside of a bathroom. And then there was a long pause. And then I said, albeit the women's one. And then there was a long pause. And I said, because of Mrs. Doubtfire. And then he paused, went, oh, okay. And then he said, you're very weird. And then laughed.
God.
And walked away. And that's beautiful. And
your
that
childhood
is,
repeating itself.
It's amazing. I mean, yes, please. If Robin Williams can make fun of me and call me weird, that's great.
You should have been like, I'm weird. Yeah. Have you seen Flubber, you fucking weirdo?
Yeah.
Okay, not get Flubber. Out of here. I love Flubber. I love
Flubber
so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would have bullied him if I were you.
Hell yeah, dude.
Over
wait,
Flubber.
So when you met him again at that show with Chris Garcia, did he remember you or was it just
No. But he did. We didn't know when he was arriving.
Mm.
I think like we kind of found out right before that it would be him. You know, we didn't know right away, but like mm-hmm. Chris and I found out right before. But he walked in toward the end of my set.
Oh.
And I was just like, please God, like don't let him be here when I go on. This is, yeah. I mean, please.
Too
no.
much.
No, absolutely not. And then all my set, I hear nothing, I see nothing, whatever, you know. And then I get into it. And then at the end, I hear him laugh. And I was like, oh, that's, yeah, like I can
you've
die. It was like.
Oh my, I you know. Love that for you.
Yeah,
you've
thank
done
you.
It now, Sarah Gina.
Thank you.
That is well, truly such, I can't even describe.
No, I mean, cloud, you know, like. But just amazing. But then, okay, so then I did that and I was like, well, my parents will know who that is. And so I go to my mom. I'm like, last night I performed with Robin Williams. And she was like, Robbie Williams? And I was like, wait, like Millennium Robbie Williams? She goes, yeah, him? And I go, no, what would I have done with Robbie Williams? She goes, oh. I would have preferred if it was Robbie Williams.
Oh my
God. The end.
Wait, who's Robbie Williams?
He's a British singer. He sang Millennium.
Don't know.
Oh my God, if you don't know, it's even. I mean, well, exactly. I think that just really adds a spice to the story that.
Wow.
It being a Russian stew, it was
lacking spice.
So all
those times you watched Mrs. Doubtfire growing up, they didn't even realize.
She doesn't. Okay, dude, I swear to God. I was in a short that I made with someone that got into Cannes, okay? The Cannes Film Festival. But I mean, whatever. It was a long time ago.
No, that's a dream. Come on.
No, of course it's the dream, but it literally, I moved to LA and I was like, here we go. And then nothing happened. So anyway, I was like, well, certainly they'll know that. And they were like, here's my mom's response was, well, it is no Oscars. And then my dad said, oh. And I said, well, can I tell you about how it went? And he went, you know what? I'm doing stuff right now. Literally, we never talked about it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So they don't care.
You were not exaggerating. Yeah.
No, they don't care. So.
I mean, that's like kind of my parents as well. When I literally sent, my dad loves Reza Aslan. I sent him a video of Reza Aslan, like literally like being like, hey, how are you? Like in Farsi, mm-hmm. like, hope you're doing well. And my dad was like, what? And I was like, this is literally a video addressed to you by one of your favorite authors. And he's like, oh, huh. Hmm. I was like, I'm going to kill you. I just can't.
Yeah. I think that they care in their own.
Yeah.
It's just their
strange
own
way.
Yeah.
Let's hard pivot. Let's talk about Truth Hounds.
Hmm.
I mean, I said hard pivot.
You did. You really did. Just a pivot off that. Yeah.
Oh, classic.
Okay. Hard pivot. Truth Hounds. Tell us from your perspective again about the show, how you and Kyle decided to do it. And
Kyle and I have been working on some version of this for like 2 years. And we made a kind of thing for an audio recording, like basically a distant cousin of this show, we'll say, like three short episodes on a very specific topic, which is why Keanu Reeves is why he is mm-hmm. who he is. And it was so fun, and it was so specific, and it was so specific to our friendship, and it was like the most fun thing creatively that I had ever done. And I was like, oh, this is like, if I could do this, this is all I would do. Mm-hmm. So that was that. And we just didn't know if that was too specific or something. So anyway, throughout the like 2 years that we've been working on it, it mutated into this, which felt a little more broad. So then it allowed for, you know, more kind of directions that it could go. I admittedly listen to a lot of investigative podcasts. Mm. Like, I feel ill because I almost can't have silence in certain whatever moments, you know, like on walks and whatever. And that's
same.
What I listen to. I like it. It fills, you know. Yeah, it keeps away the darkness, okay? So
it's like the opposite
off.
Of me. It makes me distracted, and like if I miss something, I always have to rewind. So it might take me a million years to get through like 1 hour of something.
Oh,
and it
yeah.
makes me more anxious, and like my ADD acts up. You know what I mean? Like I can't do it. So that's interesting. I wish I was like y'all.
I think that you probably, it sounds like, I feel like I have no respect. So I'm just like, I don't give a shit if I didn't miss half of it, whatever, you know? It feels actually not like pointed listening. And mm-hmm. I don't like that quality of myself, actually. So I think I'll have what you can't have.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's true. I feel like I ingest these investigative podcasts, obviously Serial being kind of the premier example, but like all just there's tons of them out there, and the cadence is always the same, and they're so not funny at all. And then when the hosts try to be funny, it's just like very
cringe.
Bad. It's so bad. And I mean, I wish somebody would give them a little seminar on what comedy even is. The things that they're getting away with, it's honestly a crime. So that's the crime we should really be investigating. But so we wanted to make this thing that's coded in this cadence and language and whatever, but ultimately it's just about like, it's investigative, quote unquote, but really it's just a venue for our friendship. You know?
Mm, yeah.
Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I think our friendship's very beautiful.
That definitely comes through, because so much of it is based around like how you two interact.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it's so much fun. That's the thing. It's like, to me, it's like, you know, Nathan For You meets, what's the Ooh. Other one?
John Wilson.
The John Wilson one, How to Do Everything.
John Wilson.
How to with John Wilson.
How to with John Wilson. Sorry.
Like, two of the best things ever. Yeah.
But like it has that same sort of energy and like fun to it, where it's like, this could go anywhere and it is what it is. And you're just on an adventure with us, and maybe we'll figure some shit out. Maybe we won't. Maybe
you're
we'll
here for the ride.
Get mad at each other. Maybe we'll reveal things about each other. And it's just like, it's so fun because it is like that spirit of friendship of like a running theme throughout it is that you guys always meet at the beach because yeah. that's where people on Laguna Beach, the reality show, would always go to talk. So every time you guys need to talk, you go to hilarious. The beach and it's like such a long drive that it's almost like nonsensical as to why you do that. But like, I want to say that like you guys actually go and record it at the beach.
Wait, really?
Yes. And we send like a sound guy with them. Like,
it's that's hilarious.
That absurd. And like, it's just like, there's so much joy in it. There's like such an underlying of joy, which is why, you know, Miles Gray and I help produce it. And it's like so much fun to work on the show. Like, it's so pure in what it is that my nose is running, but like, it's so pure in what it is that like the day before the podcast was supposed to drop, we realized we had never told them about the concept of ad breaks. Like we were enjoying, like we were just like, this is so pure and amazing and just lovely and so fun. We forgot that they had to make money off of it. Like I panic text Miles like, oh my God, we didn't even tell them about ad breaks. And then we like panic texted you guys. And luckily, you know, you put in some ad breaks. But like, we literally also had to tell you what ad breaks were and how they worked. Like the day before the trailer was like basically supposed to drop. Mm-hmm. Real geniuses really over sweet. Here.
Yeah. Wait, so if you record at the beach, the whole car ride, are you guys silent?
No, we're just like having fun, but we're not talking about like the thing we're going to talk about, you know?
I mean, it was funnier the way I imagined it, for sure. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Of course it's funnier the way you imagined it. I agree.
I love that you actually record at the beach. I did not know that.
What's really funny is we were like, okay, we just love that about Laguna Beach. Like, we just love that it's so stupid because if you live anywhere near the beach, you know that it's like, practically speaking, there's traffic. Practically speaking, it takes forever. You have to park your car. You have to walk to the beach. Like, how are they saving this convo till the beach? I just don't understand. It makes no sense. But yet, there they are. They're always like, can we talk? And then they just end up at the beach seamlessly. And like, we were like, probably they have to have their oil changed all the time if they're literally going to the beach all the time. And so when we were first pitching the show… And I think Anna was very supportive and continues to be very supportive and is like a dream producer because they were like, you know, it's audio. So you could, and I don't know if you've thought of this, add it in post.
I was like, you can make it up.
Yeah. And we were like, oh, yeah, that's true. We were just kind of like, we would rather just kind of see if we can kind of go to the beach, make it authentic. And so we literally go to the beach to record. And we have like, we love our sound guy and he's in there sometimes, you know, he's popped in, he's made a couple of appearances. And
I'm assuming, wait, are you recording in your car at the beach or like on the beach?
No,
so
on
you
the
get
beach,
the noise
beach.
And everything. I mean, that's great. So
you get texture. The beach. I mean, texture. It's texture. You understand we're painting a paint and we're always like, it's so stupid because we're always like, oh, it's just, it's so gorgeous. I mean, take a look. We're just, it's like the stupidest. I honestly, the first time that I saw the shape of our sound guy Roman's boom mic on the beach, like the silhouette during the sunset, I got very like, I was really touched and moved because it's such a rare moment in Hollywood or whatever, and I'm saying that in quotes obviously, but like in the pursuit of a career in comedy, that I was like, oh, this is like what a gift that a sound guy came out because we thought it would be funny to record the ocean for a podcast. Like the making it is just people supporting your dumb ideas is I think all it is. And so to me, that's like, oh, the success is already here. It's just getting to make this thing,
that
you know?
Beautiful.
Yeah. And then the reception's very funny because a lot of people, I think, don't know that it's a joke.
Yeah.
So we've gotten a variety of responses from like, they're really bad at investigating. I'm not learning much. Someone was like, ladies, you really got to edit. not knowing that we're like, no, it's the journey that's the thing. Uh-huh. Like, it's never, we're never going to get to the bottom. I do kind of want for one episode to get like a straight up scientist to be like, ooh, here's what happens neurologically. And we're like, yeah, we're not really interested in that. But okay. But thanks so much for coming.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's at the beach with you? Yeah.
He's at the beach. We brought a UCLA professor with us to the beach.
There is an upcoming. I mean, that's the other thing. A lot of these people like aren't necessarily the people you record and interact with. Like, they're not all necessarily in on the joke. Like, they're all just kind of like, like, okay, it's a podcast. Yeah, sure, I'll take part. But like, there are some people who just like go like the. There's an episode where a clown is interviewed, and this guy is a piece of like, he is so not having it with you two.
And he's a real, no one is, this other thing is that, that everyone is who we say they are. Like, we might know some of them. We don't know most of them, actually. Mm-hmm. So
they're not actors, you're saying? Like,
no,
just like, yeah.
No. So like we, you know, for an example of a person in a recent episode is like, we interviewed a mean person and was a friend of mine who fits the category, who was like, yeah, I mean, I'll do this interview. But for the most part, like, no one's playing a thing that they're not.
Yeah.
You know?
I like that.
Yeah. So it's, the clown is a real.
Y'all are all about authenticity.
French trained clown. Yes. So, you know.
And he was not nice. It was pretty funny.
No, he was not.
I love that you were like, I need a mean person. I have a mean friend. And then they're like, yeah, I'm mean. Like,
yeah. I mean, her intro is so funny. It's like one of my best friends, but she introduces, we have everybody introduce themselves in a, you know, investigative journalist style, which is like, hi, I'm Anna and I'm a guest on this podcast, you know? Mm-hmm. But hers is, hi, I'm Megan and okay, I guess you think I'm mean. Yeah.
Funny. That's amazing. I highly recommend Truth Hounds to everyone who was listening, especially after hearing it described like that. Like, in my opinion, Nathan Fielder and John Wilson are like the highest compliments.
I think so too. Yeah.
So,
big time.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. That's very sweet and a very sweet compliment.
I mean, that was like the first energy. When I did a vibe check on the show, that's the first feeling I got. I was just like, this is that. Because it's like, you start at one place and then all of a sudden you've taken a path that one is nonsensical and two, like, doesn't necessarily get you where you're, where you need to be. But yeah, like, it's, I've enjoyed listening to you guys get there. So it's like, I'm not sitting here like, why are people mean? You know, like, it's just like, and the questions are just, you know, they're more like concepts.
They're earnest. We'll just say they're earnest.
Yeah.
So the funny thing is, like, we started with, why are some people always late? And we were like, that's a good idea because that's the most, it's the most reeled in. So it seems the most like a legit, you know, and then they get really conceptual, really abstract.
You hook them with the reality. And then by the time the conceptual stuff comes out, it's too late.
It's too late. You're already,
you're hooked. Yeah.
Anna, this has been a real fucking treat. Genuinely, I've had the best time talking
Me
to
too.
You. I'm so glad Anna brought you on. This has been a joy.
Yeah,
before
I brought
we let
her.
You go.
Yeah, you brought me. No, this was such a joy.
You
Thank you so
her.
Much.
You
I mean, yeah.
I'm giving
she
you credit.
Asked.
I mean, I threatened her, but sure, go ahead.
I mean, she made me, but
she fucking better.
She forced me. Yeah.
I mean, I'm absolutely forced against my will.
She's
but,
chained
you know.
Up to my gas heater in my basement, but sure.
It's Dark. Amazing that you can't hear both our audio through, bleeding through. But
I thought there was an echo, but now that you mentioned it, yeah. But thank you so much. It was, I honestly, I've known who you are for a while, so I'm glad that I finally, like, in quotes, met you, because
you just met her. What do you mean, in quotes?
Because we're not in person.
Okay, but, you know.
Still a meeting.
Yeah.
People fall in love like this every day.
Yeah.
I don't consider, but I say, I don't know why I imagine, like, the meet word or meeting is, like, in person.
So,
maybe that's my own issue.
Now,
you think we're passing through, passing by each other?
I guess. I mean, yeah, okay.
Through the night.
I said earlier that I'm a moron. You know what I mean? So,
now, tell me this.
But earlier, I also said that I was too. So, I mean, that's.
We're both wrong.
Now tell me
this.
If you come across Anna Sarah Gina in person, will you say, hi, nice to meet you?
Yeah, I will.
Or will you say, it's good to see you again?
I would definitely say nice to meet you.
That's absurd.
I would put out my hand.
That's absurd.
Wow. I would be, having done serious dramatic improv and having been, like, I'm very open and receptive and kind of in the now, I'd just go off whatever you're bringing to the table.
Oh, wow.
Whatever you're comfortable with. You go, nice to meet you. I just want to hold you up, you know. And
you'd be like, come in, I give hugs kind of thing.
No, you should be like, nice to meet you. And you'd be like, I have cancer.
I think cancer.
I don't have time for this.
Should I get the spaghetti?
Yeah. You get a text. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I met, okay. I tried to be genuine and tell you that I think you're cool. Okay. And y'all just derailed it. I take it back.
No, but here's the thing is I think you're cool. So okay, then,
that makes
you know.
It fair, I guess.
And I think you're both cool. So.
I think you're both cool. I think this is very...
No, I said that first. I think you two are both cool. So
I know, but I'm coming from a different position. I'm the guest.
Oh,
okay?
you're right.
I'm coming from a
guest is always right.
The guest is always right, okay? So.
You know what? You're right. Let's shut this podcast
down. Swap out the Annas.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Swap out the Annas. That actually, you know what? There's a really great episode coming up where we have a new Kyle. In the episode.
We do. That's actually next week or whenever this, you know,
I think it'll be out by the time this drops. So go listen to that one. It's the Does Distance Make the Heart Grow Fonder? Interesting stuff happens in that.
An important investigation.
Yeah. Well, I mean this when I say it. It has been a blast having you. Before you go, tell the people who are listening where they can find you on the internet and about Truth Hounds, like where they can find it.
Okay, so.
Please.
Please. Okay, so first of all, the Truth Hounds really takes precedent right now. We do a lot of like calls to action and interacting where we ask for people to submit stuff to the show on our Instagram mostly, which is, I don't want to fuck it up. Is it the truth?
I think it's Truth Hounds.
Instagram's Truth Hounds. Yeah. Twitter is the Truth Hounds.
Okay, thank you, Anna. Of course. So that there you go. You're first, and you can edit out to like really make it sound like I said
or
that.
Keep
thank
it
you
exactly.
so much.
Yeah, we'll do.
Yeah, or keep it exactly as such.
We're not gonna edit.
I'm at Cash Money Grandpa on Instagram, but get this, and you're not gonna believe this: Touching Cheeses on Twitter.
Gotta mix it up.
Yeah. I will let you know that I lived in San Francisco when both Twitter and Instagram came around. I was like, no way is this lasting. So this has a lifespan of 2 weeks. So I'm out of here. Yeah.
Really funny. Well, I'm glad they stuck, you know?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad they stuck in order to make you look like a goddamn fool.
Yeah, and you know, and again, as an immigrant, of course, we're always kind of putting ourselves down and thinking. Uh-huh. Anyway.
I mean, those names are probably like really coveted now, so you really got it first.
Yeah, I got in there.
Touching Cheeses? I mean, come on.
A lot of people are wanting that. I'm getting offers left and right, so.
Okay, let's wrap it up. Anything else? Any last words before I plug?
Listen to Truth Hounds, and then for the love of God, you have to rate and subscribe. I didn't know that, but you do. I didn't know that.
It's against the law if you don't.
It's true.
It's illegal.
That's all I got.
Yeah. Well, everyone, follow her orders. Please listen to the Truth Hounds.
Please.
I'm just excited that there's like a very fun, unique podcast out because I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, and I think it's because, like, again, what I said earlier, like, I can't really focus a lot. But I think if it's just for fun, I think I can, like, go along for the ride, you know? But anyways, this has been Ethically Ambiguous. Wow! Ethnically Amb, A-M-B on Twitter, and Ethically Ambig, A-M-B-I-G on Instagram. I am Shireen. It's Shirohiro on Instagram and Shirohiro666 on Twitter.
And I'm at Anna Posnier on Twitter.
Correct. Okay, until next time, listen to the Truth Hounds. Bye!
Sniff, sniff.
Hey!
Ethnically Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.